And so from the standpoint of people inside hospitals, it was, you know, you could see the difference when, you know, the government banned alcohol. There was suddenly, you know, an incredible increase in people rushing into hospitals. But when alcohol wasn't banned, for example, shame, George, sorry, when it wasn't banned, hospitals were much emptier, and the lockdown worked. Hey, it genuinely decreased the rates in hospitals. The inflow, it was very productive. But she told me, this woman who works at these public hospitals, she told me that as soon as the alcohol ban was lifted, you suddenly had hundreds of people flooding in with knives in their eyes, but also coughing, you know.
Cool.
Yeah, as you have in South Africa.
That's cool.
Yeah, I just remember thinking that was very, very funny, because you know bleeding out, but it's also, you know, you also have coronavirus and you're also actively spreading. It's so funny. Am I right? Right, George? Laugh with me, George, please.
No. Yeah, that's intense. But I guess the alcohol ban did have, I mean, I would be interesting to see like the long-term effects of it, like what happens long-term.
Well, I'm just wondering, what do you do if you're an alcoholic? I don't.
Yeah, that's the part where it gets messy, because like it's not easy to quit, and then suddenly you take it off immediately, like take it away from them immediately.
The government's enforced rehab can't be fun.
Yeah, it can't be fun. Yeah.
So we're gonna get back to South Africa, I promise. But I just, George, you were telling me about Trump again. We're just going to go back to America just for a little bit, you know, the country no one's ever heard of, and just talk about his response to America. Just because if you look at it from a graphical point of view, and I did graph research because I am an expert and a professional, and he laughed, George, it's funny. So artificial. Anyway, so on a graph, America is doing incredibly below average. In terms of the way they handle it, the death rate, the, what's it when people get infected, the infection rate, it's a bit of a disaster there. But you were telling me, George, earlier about what Trump was, something very special about Trump, which came to light this week. Would you like to explain?
Well, essentially, there's this journalist, Woodward, who's like a very famous journalist. He took down Richard Nixon, basically.
Quite a career then, you know.
Yeah, amazingly, he's still alive.
Yeah.
But anyway, he managed to get audio of Trump saying how deadly the coronavirus was back in February. And he was saying that in private, and which is the exact opposite thing of what he was saying in public, which was the coronavirus is not deadly at all. You don't need to don't need to wear any masks. It's just like the flu. So basically, he kind of proved that Trump was actively downplaying a threat to America because of political reasons.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a little, you know, he kind of came out and was like, no, these Democrats are upplaying the virus. Dr. Fauci, who is, you know, if you don't know, he is, you know, a very well-respected doctor in America.
Yeah.
Very, very, very public figure as well. He was like, guys, wear your masks. This is not just a cold. And Trump pretty much ignored him. And there was a lot of beef that went on there, but we won't get into that.
But I don't understand is like Dr. Fauci is literally, he was on the same like cabinet as Trump. Like, I don't understand, how do you like disagree with the guy that you like kind of appointed?
Relationships are hard. Okay. There could be, you know, stuff could be going on. Someone could be sleeping with Melania. You know, you don't know.
He was voted the sexiest man alive.
Dr. Fauci. I think that's all we're going to really talk about America today, because we did touch on it a lot last week. And I think that for people who don't keep up with American politics, you know, have social lives and that sort of thing, you know, and aren't nerds, it becomes a little bit difficult to follow. So I think we're going to go back to South Africa after the break. And also, I think we're going to be talking about misconceptions surrounding coronavirus. A lot of them are very funny. I think we're going to be talking about that. So I have quite a few stories, and I think George does as well. Just the elderly shame, the poor elderly.
I love the elderly.
Okay, and I think that's it for now. And I think we're going to go into news very shortly. Right, George? That should be interesting.
Yeah, I know. That should be entertaining. You were about 40 seconds too short there.
Yeah. As well. Yes, so, well, news is always very entertaining, usually very.
So we'll just hype up the news for the next 30 seconds. The news is coming, guys.
So back to what we were talking about, we agreed and we promised everyone that we would talk about, let's say, the elderly's, to be polite and politically correct, the elderly's response to coronavirus and the way that they have reacted. So for example, I'll go first. I have a teacher, not at Redhill, just, you know, keep things legal, not at Redhill, who is completely under the impression that coronavirus is a government hoax, and that the government is trying to repress us and keep us inside, and that's why they've created this lie that is coronavirus. And she thinks that anyone who goes out wearing a mask is very stupid, but then she does it anyway. I don't, you know, it's...
yeah.
It's one of those ones
where it's really hard to, you know... I mean, it's obvious. It's really obvious that it's like a conspiracy and like...
Yes, no, it is. It is. It's
but, like, you still don't want to die from it.
Yes,
you know,
no,
what I mean?
It's not insensitive at all to people who are dying. And you were telling me you have a teacher, a similar teacher.
Yeah, well, I know someone, yeah. He was like, he's a teacher, and he's also quite old. he's not in Redhill. And he was like, dude, like, do you know how you, like, listen here, kid, you know how you're going to stop the coronavirus?
Yeah.
I was like, what? And he's like, I've been reading up about it, and it's like, you got to eat rice. He's like, you got to eat a lot of rice, kid, and I promise you, it'll go away. Just keep on, like, I don't know if he was trying to sell me rice. I don't know. Like, maybe he had, like, another company on the, I don't know. And then I have another, like, person who I know who's also, I mean, he's quite young, but he's like, middle-aged.
Yeah.
But he's, like, saying that it's, like, made in China. It's, like, a virus. It's like they manufactured it,
yes.
And, like, they let it do something. Yeah. It's a pretty common one.
It is a pretty common one, yeah. I'm just thinking about the other teacher, what he teaches, and then on the side, he's just got, you know, an underground rice business.
Right.
You know, sell his students the rice, yeah. So I have a story as well. I was speaking to, let's say, an elderly person I know quite well, and she came up to me and she was like, Liz, I have a cure for the coronavirus. I was like, really? That's amazing. And she was like, I found this thing online. It says, that it says underneath it, it's 100% proven to kill the virus, 100%. It's like, oh, sure, let me see it. And it was like, you must just drink lots of hot water and lemon juice, and it kills the virus. And that's what you mean. Like, oh, and it's been proven, yes. It says so on the internet. Therefore, it's fact. It's been proven.
Yeah, I was watching this video of, like, this, like, he was like a pastor, and he was like, mm-hmm. He also said, like, he was like, we've got it. Like, we've found the cure, people. I mean, basically, he got investigated by the FBI because he was like, fraudulent. And it was just like this, like, it was like this, like, mineral, but it didn't do anything. It was actually, like, toxic or something.
Oh, was it?
But he was like.
That's nice. No.
He was like, this is it. This is the cure.
I also heard that, just going back to what we're talking about in hospitals, she's saying that the rate of oxygen has gone up incredibly, but also the rate of steroids, because you use, it's now common practice to use steroids to treat coronavirus. So when you leave.
Really?
Yeah, no, it's something, there's something in steroids. So when you leave hospital after getting coronavirus, it's 100% proven that you just go out really jacked. All of them. You'll just see suddenly a lot of really jacked people walking around. George, I can see by your face you think I'm not joking. Of course I'm joking, George.
Yeah, okay, I was so confused for a second.
They do use steroids, but they don't, you know, no one walks out of hospital, you know.
Yeah, I don't think they, like recommend it. Like,
I mean, the closest thing they have at the moment, I mean, other than the Russian vaccination, which, you know, nobody wants to get the Russian vaccination because it came out too soon, but the government is making it compulsory, like, you will have our vaccination.
That's...
You don't care.
They skipped every single trial. It's like they just put, like, this mixture and this mixture, done.
Ah,
like,
this might work, yeah.
This might work, yeah.
See what happens.
Like, it's so weird. I don't know why they would do that, because it's so risky, because if, like, people start taking it, like, the virus could, like, adapt to that, and then it sets back other, like other vaccination like research, because that strain, it's like, it doesn't, it's just,
it feels like we're in the Cold War again, you know, and it's just trying to beat the Americans to the vaccination.
Oh yeah.
Regardless of the risk to humans, you know, we will get there first. And so now another thing is, another story I have is my grandmother, Shang, very, very, very elderly. She also, you know, the internet is still new to her. You know, she taps her phone, you know, like you are, you know what I mean? How elderly people tap their phones violently.
Oh yeah, well, to be honest, I also tap my phone.
Yes, yes, you do actually. That's not even... And she vigorously tapped her phone at me one day, and she sent me this long list of things you can do to cure yourself from coronavirus. And it was like all the normal things, you know, wash your hands, wear a mask. And then, you know, in the middle of the list, like it had something, something very, it had something bizarre just in the mix of all these ordinary things. Was, you know, wash your hands and also go home every night and put a blow dryer in your nose and leave it on for a while. Because the hot air kills the virus in your nose. Therefore, you must put a blow dryer in your nose. And it was just, and she genuinely believed that. She says, I'm going out to buy a new hair dryer today. You know.
Yeah. You know, I've seen that one as well. But I don't know. Do people just like make fake stuff up for fun?
I don't know. I think it's,
or do they like actually believe it?
I know, it's a charm, you know, just, you know, drink bleach because it might help. Just try anything, you know.
Yeah. That's... Well, he said, no, we should inject bleach. Oh, like, he actually said, like, put it in you.
Oh, like,
which is even worse. Okay. Yeah.
Great. Perfect.
Well, he highly recommended.
Okay, so we're going to jump to a song by Sam Fisher. It's called The City. Thank you.
Yes. Red Radio.
So we're going to just go back, and we've got one more thing to talk about today before we are finally finished for today's show, even though it started a bit late. So, George, I think that I keep my head pretty, you know, in what's kind of happening currently. But then I realized that I only actually do that for international politics, and I'm a terrible South African. And apparently somebody got very bored in quarantine and made a very racist ad, and there was something with clicks and the EFF. Please explain to me what happened. I'm so confused.
Well, that's basically it. The clicks people made like a really racist advert.
Wait, really? How? Clicks?
Yeah, clicks.
Wow. Well,
I didn't even see the advert. I just put, like, I hate watching adverts. Like, I can't watch any adverts, so I didn't really see it. I just knew it was racist.
Did you? Okay.
And I mean,
what happened? Yeah. What happened? How did this?
I think the EFF got really angry about that, which, I mean, they got, yeah, very tensions rose.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is that everyone's been trapped inside too long, and they needed a release. So they chose, so clicks, you know, they lost all judgment because they hadn't gone outside in a while, and the EFF needed to, you know, what is it, expel their anger onto something. Would you say that's what happened? Because I don't know, really.
Well, yeah, I think some of the anger is justified, because okay, the ad was, like, apparently it was, like, like shocking. But, yeah, I don't know the full story about how the EFF's, like, reaction to it. I just know that's what happened. I'm also terrible at South African politics.
Okay, yeah.
I just know that the ad was, like, incredibly racist, and that I think some of the people in the marketing department for it have stepped down.
Oh, very nice. And very nice. You know, it does sound of feel a little bit like we're copying America with all of these racists.
Yeah.
It does. Hang on. I think I know what I'm talking about. I think what they did was they compared you know, a kind of black hair as being dry and, you know, damaged in comparison to white hair, which I think is not, obviously not the case.
That's a big yikes.
Yeah, that's a little bit like, oh dear, do you not, wow, wow.
But like, how like tone deaf do you have to, like, like, who sits there and thinks this is going to work?
I know.
Like, what?
And all the people it goes through, right, it's not just one person, you know, in the cupboard, you know, in the clicks marketing department going, ooh, this will really get people. No, it's a whole group of people who go, yeah, no, in 2020, this seems tasteful. This seems like a good idea. This doesn't seem, you know, like something that would have been played in the 1950s. You know, I just really...
You pay less at clicks.
Yes. Great, thank you, George. Thank you. So I think that's, wow. I just got this information out. That's actually shocking, frankly.
Well, actually, you didn't. I did message you like the other day saying
yes,
that.
Yes, no. I'm.
But never mind.
I don't really pay attention much to what's going on in South Africa, because I feel like if you pay attention to what's going on overseas, it's kind of like a reality TV show. You know, in South Africa, it's a bit too real. You know, overseas, you look at Trump and go, ah, will he sleep with his daughter? Will he, won't he? Find out on next episode, you know. Next
yeah.
week on, you know, Trump in the White House. I mean, but for South Africa, it's a little bit too real, you know.
Yeah, well, for me, I find, like, sometimes it's like South Africa, like, I enjoy listening to news and watching news, but sometimes people can be like really, really cynical, and it's just like, okay, like, but I guess that's actually, I feel like that's with every, like, if we went to, like, Denmark, they'd probably, like, be really cynical about
Denmark, or, you know, Norway.
But then,
we live in the richest country in the world.
But, it's
a disaster, you know.
Yeah.
God, we only have, you know, like, three pavements, one on either side and in the middle of the road. It's just this real disaster.
Yeah, actually, if any like of those countries like complain too much, then it's like, okay, you're just like, no, I'm joking.
God, our roads are too good.
Yeah.
Too good.